And Eric, RSC workers in New Zealand are given easier conditions by the government.
Oh, that's right. The Immigration Minister has announced changes to help them if they're stranded in New Zealand due to COVID-19. Each year, up to 14,400 RSC workers, mostly from Pacific Island nations, arrive here to work on orchards and vineyards. Ian Lees-Galloway says despite this work drying up, around 9,000 are still in this country. He says the changes announced today will allow stranded people to work flexible hours and will ease limitations on the roles they can do.
Two key changes that we're making are one, that the workers will be able to carry out any role, so they won't be restricted in where they can work and what role they can do. The other thing is that instead of requiring them to have 30 hours work a week, they will only need to have 15 hours work a week. And that just provides more flexibility both for the workers themselves and for their employers, because you know, we know that a lot of these workers, they are stuck here in New Zealand. The work that they came here to do has finished, and that means that they haven't been able to generate an income and sustain themselves. We really want to make sure that they are able to support themselves, given that at the moment travelling home is not an option.
Ian Lees-Galloway says many stranded workers are desperate to get home, and he's working closely with Pacific Island governments to try to achieve this. Meanwhile, the horticulture and viticulture industries have grave concerns about what border restrictions will mean when it comes time to bring in new RSC workers for the next harvest. Ian Lees-Galloway says the government is continuing to work with industry groups on this.
Obviously, they are aware that there are more New Zealanders who are available for work, and that's something that we've been working with them on. And I know that they're working closely with the Ministry of Social Development to find New Zealanders who are unemployed and available to do that work. But what we have also signalled today is that we'll retain the current cap of 14,400 RSE workers being able to travel into the country for the next season. Of course, all of that is quite dependent on whether or not people still have to go into managed isolation before they can work in New Zealand, what our managed isolation capacity is. So that's an ongoing piece of work between the government and the sector. There's no doubt they will need to look to the New Zealand labour market a lot more than they have done in recent seasons to be able to fill those roles.
That's the Immigration Minister Ian Lees-Galloway. The prices for dairy goods have jumped at auction by a significant amount, 8.3%. The level is now $3,197 a tonne on average. Whole milk powder rose a massive 14%, while skim milk powder increased 3.5% and buttermilk powder 3.8%. Wayne Langford is the new chairman of Federated Farmers Dairy Section. He welcomes this but wants to keep it in context.
Oh, well, it's only early days in the 2020-21 season, but it's certainly a welcome start to the week for most farmers throughout the country, no doubt.
How will it help them, do you think, in terms of their incomes and their debt levels and this sort of thing?
Well, seeing a significant rise like that puts upward pressure on the payout, which is fantastic. But we've got 24 more of these auctions to go this year, so hopefully they can all stay up and stay in this great range, and we'll be happy from there. Yeah.
What message does it send, do you think, to the dairy companies in terms of their forecast prices?
I think that they'll be pretty positive. They would have been quietly optimistic that our high-quality product will be in demand around the world, and potentially this is what that's showing. But, yeah, we'll see where it goes.
How many more of these do you think there would need to be before, say, Fonterra or Synlait or someone like that says, OK, we're increasing the forecast price?
Oh, there definitely need to be another three or four more of these, kind of in the short term to see something like that. And like I said, it's a long-term game out to the end of next season. So we'll see where it goes. Hopefully we're not into another patch of high volatility where it goes up and down. Hopefully it can reach a constant state after a bit more of a rise would be fantastic.
Why do you think it might have gone up?
Oh, well, I think the markets are potentially reflecting on, I guess, the high quality product that's coming out of New Zealand. We're seeing stores, around the world potentially dropping down and they're needing to refill. So now they're coming to the New Zealand market looking for our product.
That's Wayne Langford of Federated Farmers. The Department of Conservation's cull of Himalayan tar has been described as unlawful and unfair. A judicial review is underway at the High Court in Wellington against DOC's culling program of tar. The department hopes the plan will reduce numbers to about 10,000 to help native tussocks and landscapes. But the Tar Foundation, which brought the court case, believes hunters were not consulted about this. It says accommodation and guiding companies that work with the company stand to lose significant income, putting more than 500 jobs on the line. A lawyer for the foundation, Jack Hodder QC, told a packed High Court this morning that the cull program should not be allowed.
That 2021 operational plan should be quashed because it is unlawful, because it sets targets for the management units defined in the 1993 control plan. Those plans have new features compared to previous plans. They have a much increased overall target, target being the euphemism for culling, and they include targeting of bull tar in national parks, to the best of my understanding, the evidence for the first time. That, as the evidence shows, has particular significance for the commercial and guided hunting industry. The second ground is that the plan and its numbers are the result of a process which we say was profoundly flawed by, firstly, the absence of meaningful consultation, and associated with that, related to it, a breach of legitimate expectations relating to the primary role of the hunting sector and to its position in the architecture of the overall control regime. The third ground is that the plan proceeds on insufficient information, information which would enable the relevant operations and questions to be addressed and answered correctly.
That's Jack Hodder QC. Lawyers for the Crown will speak this afternoon. And that's the Rural News for now.